taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Well, a young man ain't got nothing in the world these days. I said a young man ain't got nothing in the world these days.
All right, it is 18 after the hour on this Wednesday. It's the Steve Weber Show Capital Day Edition. We'll have John Cornack here in a moment from the Eisenhower Center as we continue to talk about the Brain Injury Association of Michigan and all the things associated with no-fault insurance here. But first, if you've missed this headline, you've missed a lot, and this is this worldwide cyber attack. It's global, and it's a battle being fought every day in different places. And apparently, just by accident, the guy was able to stop the last one with this kind of a nonsensical IP address, a website address. But, I mean, they're coming every day. My next guest, Sean Tuma, an attorney and cybersecurity expert, to talk more about it. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve.
Glad to have you here. So these ransomware attacks, number one, is one thing that's going on. But what in the world is going on with this whole cyber attack, this global event that some people now say traces back to North Korea? Don't know if that's true. What can you tell us?
You know, Steve, what we know is that, number one, it was not as bad as it could have been, but it could have been a whole lot worse. And given that and the fact that it originated, the exploit that was used originated with the NSA and is being at least traced by some to the North Koreans, it makes us wonder if this was a test, if it was sending a message or what. But the one thing we know for sure is people better get their security house in order and get ready, because there's a lot more of this to come.
So what kind of things are affected here, Sean? Are we talking about personal information? Because we all know the NSA and everybody else looking at our information every day, from our cell phones to our computers. But are we talking about banking information, health information? I mean, what are we discussing here? What's being looked at? What's being hacked?
All of it, Steve. Our lives are now contained within the computers, the phones we carry, the iPads we use. Everything we have runs on cyber now, and cyber has become the new weapon of choice for warfare, revolution, espionage, business, and mischief. So the problem is when they have an attack against our computers for any reason, it disables all of it, like we've seen with this current ransomware, where it's disabling people's computers in its entirety, and they can't get any of their data.
Let me ask you this, Sean, and you've been with me before. We've discussed these things to some point. But is privacy, personal privacy, my own, mind your own business sort of an attitude, is privacy just a quaint, antiquated notion at this point?
I sure hope not, because that's what defines us as human beings, really, is our ability to have privacy. And you know, even those of us who advocate for very strong cybersecurity efforts do not want to see the erosion of our privacy. And I don't think it is. I think what we have to do, though, is the American people really have to take this as a wake-up call and understand that we have to take responsibility for securing ourselves and protecting our privacy and demand that of our government.
But in fairness, how do we do that? How do we do that in fairness when we know that our television could be watching us, our computer could be watching us? I know that the pickup truck that I bought, a GMC pickup truck, has a hotspot in it. Therefore, they know where that is. They know where my smartphone is. They can find me anytime they want by pinging it, they being the government. Now, of course, it's been used to solve some high-profile crimes in America. But if they can find the criminals, they can find you and I, Sean, anytime they want. And if they can make the computer and the television look at what I'm doing, are we really that far from Victory Gin in 1984?
No, we're not that far. And those techniques and tools are already there. It's a question of ensuring to the best of our ability that our elected officials are treating this responsibly. And look, we all have to get involved. It's a political issue. This is now at the height of politics. And we have to push as much as we push for all these other benefits and things we want. We have to demand respect of our privacy within the limits. We still want our nation to have superiority in this domain, but we don't want this these tools to be used against us as individuals for political purposes, for persuasive purposes, or anything else.
But we have to understand that
and make a stand.
Yeah, the problem is, and you know it as well as I do, that if I get on the computer today and I buy, pick your product, doesn't matter, and it gets sent to me by Amazon, and then I go look at other products and they get sent there, my computer knows my preferences right now. And there are algorithms right now that could pinpoint exactly what I'm going to do today, what I'm most likely to eat, how far I'm going to drive, what I'm going to watch on television, what I'm going to wear for clothing. It's all there. And then you compound that with the government information about my health care or my tax returns. All that information is out there. It's all out there. And I find that frightening, frankly.
Oh, Steve, no doubt about it. I mean, the genie is out of the bottle. It's a question of how do we slow the erosion? How do we limit the damage that is done going forward? And there's no going back, and we can't. But we can. I don't know that it's possible, quite frankly. I'm in Washington, D.C. right now, meeting with congressmen and senators today and tomorrow. I don't know that it's possible, but I know we have to try. And that's
maybe the only way to go back is if, maybe the only way, Sean, is if I decide I want to become Jeremiah Johnson and stop shaving and get rid of my smartphone and computer and, you know, go live off the land for real. Sean, I greatly appreciate the conversation, although you haven't helped my, I'm not going to sleep again tonight, Sean. I appreciate that, but I do appreciate the conversation.
Thank you, Steve. My pleasure.
All right, there you have it, Sean Tuma. Straight ahead, John Cornick, the president of the Eisenhower Center here on Capitol Day. You're listening to The Steve Griffith Show.